Today, as we move into the Word, I'm looking forward to sharing with you some of the New Year's direction that, you know, as I have been seeking the Lord and asking Him for where do we go for 2013. I do this regularly. I probably every 6 months take time and will take out, as I did just before the new year, I was able to get several days away just to hang out with Jesus and listen to Him and talk and say, Lord, where are we going? This is not just because it's a new year. There are times when we've just really continued, and in a sense, we will continue with what God's already said. We're going to add a piece to it. But there's something that I just want you to know, as your pastor, I check in every 6 months significantly. It's like this huge time that I say, okay, Lord, where are we going, any changes, that kind of a thing. And as I was spending time, it became clear, and what was unfolding is really a sense of adding on to what God's already given us. There's something that I am concerned about as we move into 2013, deeply concerned about, is that the church today is becoming more and more influenced and motivated and even dominated by the culture around us. I'm deeply concerned that we must fight against that kind of domination that would try to come and change the church as God has given us, this amazing community. And so there is something that we are fighting against, and you hear it, you see it almost every day at different proclamations that come from governmental sources, that come from other social service kinds of places, and it just seems like there is a message that we ought to pace ourselves with the world, that somehow we ought to allow ourselves to be molded by some of the policies of the world that's coming out, and we must be very careful that we do not give in to a life that is not godly, that we do not compromise ourselves and allow the world to cultivate us. We are called to cultivate the world that we live in. Can you say amen to that, church? So I believe that God has spoken a clear word that we are to continue with our theme to share and to serve. There is no question in my mind that we continue to serve and to share, and we will continue to move forcefully in that direction. But also I want to add something. Sharing, serving, and living godly lives. And by adding that piece, although it seems almost and hopefully well connected, it's a theme that keeps coming back to you and I, that we're called to live a godly life. What I have imagined and what I am hoping for, that you and I are going to get up in the morning and ask ourselves, God, how might I live a godly life today? And I'm hoping that at the end of the day, we will look back and reflect on how I have just lived a godly life. And at times we'll be thankful for the amazing resources that God has given us when we haven't done so good. The resources of forgiveness and repentance and confession and the fact that His mercies are new every morning. Can you say amen to that? I'm not calling you and I to live a perfect life. That most likely is not going to happen with any one of us here. But we can live a godly life. And I believe that we are to move as the Word instructs us to really ask ourselves and allow our feelings, our thinking, our behaving, our acting, all that we do become measured by the Word of God and by the direction of the Holy Spirit, and that we live godly lives. This is nothing new in the Word. A few scripture references in Titus, it tells us 1:1, it says, I've been sent to bring faith to those God has chosen and to teach them to know the truth, to know the truth that shows them how to live godly lives. We can do this. It is a goal that comes right out of the Word of God. In 2 Peter 3:11, since everything around us is going to melt away, and it kind of feels that way sometimes, what holy, and there it is, godly lives you should be living. And finally, in 1 Timothy 2:2, Pray this way for kings and all others who are in authority, so that we can live in peace, quietness, in godliness, and dignity. So you and I are going to continue to share. We must not ever stop sharing. I want that to be a 2013 emphasis, that you and I are going to communicate and share with the world around us the important message that Jesus is the way, He is the truth, and He is the life. And that there's a way to have eternal life, this amazing gift that Jesus brings to all of humanity. And there's a way to live today that's healthy. There's a way to get up each morning to be a mate, to be a dad or a mom, to be a son or daughter, to be someone who works hard, to be whatever that you have imaged yourself, that we can do these things in a way that's godly and share with the world around us that the way to do this successfully is with Jesus at the center of everything. I really believe that we are about relationship building. Relationship with Jesus and relationship with one another. If you look to my left, your right, you see the posters there against the wall. And those have not changed and will not change. The first one reminds us of our commitment to relationship, to Jesus and one another. And each one of those four core values are still very much a part of who we are and what we're going to be. And that relationship, no kidding, is huge. You and I need to make some decision, a clear decision that says Jesus Christ will be the number one highest priority in my life. And that our life reflects that priority. And that will become often a huge challenge as the world will meet us and somehow suggest that this is not important. It is. It is vitally, critically essential to life itself. You can't call yourself a believer. You really can't. And not follow up by saying, and Jesus Christ is my highest priority. And then with that, we serve. We will continue to serve. And so many of you serve sacrificially. I see it over and over again, the giving of your time, your talent, your treasure, your finances. I see us willing to serve, and we have a commitment, service before self. I see that over and over again. There's something, again, critical about you and I getting out there and sharing and serving, becoming, if you will, evangelistic in these ways with the world around us saying, we really do love Jesus, and we really do love you, and we want you to experience this amazing, amazing personal relationship that we have. And so we're here. I really believe God's called us to be a great church. I believe this is the key to our greatness, if you will. We're a good church. But what tends to hold us back from the greatness that we can experience is that there are many of us who don't serve and who struggle with serving. It's hard to find time. I was talking with someone who couldn't imagine that they had any talent to give. And I sat down with him and I said, well, what do you do? And, you know, how do you, you know, what's your kind of a, you know, work do you do? And he shared what he did. And I said, you know, I see that the skill you've learned at work could apply here in the life of our church. And he looked at me, his eyes got wide, he said, I've never thought of that. You mean because I always thought that you had to teach Sunday school, or, you know, you ushered, or I hadn't thought there were other things you could do. And I said, man, there are hundreds of other things that are of need in the life of this church. And here's something that I want you to understand. God trained you, and you can take what skills you have here, and it directly applies in the life of this church. See, a lot of us don't imagine how God could take our uniqueness, and every one of you is unique. Every one of you has something that God has given you by way of a talent, an ability, a spiritual gift that can be used in amazing ways. And the thing that we have to remember is we give of our time, our talent, and our treasures, our financial resources. This is hard. We live in tough economic times. But I got to tell you, I've learned that tithing and giving is critical to the blessing that God brings. I've had this conversation a lot, and I had someone say, well, if God will bless me, I'll give. That is backwards. You give, and then God blesses. And we're to tithe our 10%. And we do that, and here's the thing, I'm convinced some of you do that already. Can I just say God bless you? You're going to experience the amazing blessing of God. I have. I know what that's like. And years when I was a brand new believer, I know what it's like to be on both sides of that street and to not give and struggle and to struggle and give and then watch God do miraculous things. But here's the thing. We all need to do this. We all need to give and to do it at times when it's even a bit of a struggle. Because in doing that, our sharing, our serving will raise up a standard that will bring us to this amazing place of being a great place. I believe that God has called us and that the time is going to come and is coming soon that we are going to have even more than we could imagine. There is no reason for us not to image every seat filled. It shouldn't be hard to imagine adding another service. It shouldn't be hard to imagine God moving and giving us other satellite churches. It shouldn't be hard for us to see that there are thousands of people who need to receive Jesus. And we have all that's needed right here for that to happen. And so we add this third piece, living godly lives. Say that with me, living godly lives. There's something very important about you and I coming into a place that we are able to live according to the standard of God's Word, that we are able to live according to the leading of the Holy Spirit in our lives. I am so convinced that you and I need to learn, to continue learning, to continue growing, and to become more like Jesus. And how do we do that? Well, you do that by spending time with Jesus. And so you read the Word of God. You talk to the Lord. We call that prayer. You listen to the Lord. You listen to the Spirit of God. And when all this begins to happen, and you make a choice to follow Jesus, really, follow Jesus, it's amazing what will take place in your life. God still talks today to his people. In Matthew chapter 4, turn there with me, would you? Matthew chapter 4, or you can look on your notes. I think we have that there as well. But in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee. If you ever wanted to go and visit the place where Jesus did most of his ministry, you'd go to Israel, hang out around the region called the Galilean region or around the Sea of Galilee, and you'd be hanging out where about two-thirds of the New Testament took place. I mean, so much happened right there. So Jesus walking along, and he sees two brothers, Simon called Peter, Andrew his brother. They're casting a net into the sea. They're fishermen. And look what he says. Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets, followed him. Then he continued on. There's two other brothers, James, John. They're in the boat with their dad, Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them. Same thing. And they followed him. Immediately they left their boat, their father, and they followed him. Following Jesus shouldn't be that difficult. We make it harder than it needs to be. When I think about what these men did, we have so much more about Jesus today than they had then. When you think about the resources we have, Jesus comes, and let me say this, Jesus is still calling his people to follow. Jesus came to you at some point and said, come, follow me. And you said, yes. Today in the 21st century, we say, well, let me work on the process of following you. And that is not biblical. When Jesus calls and says, follow me, you stop what you're doing and you follow him. We have the Word of God that talks to us about that. We have the Holy Spirit that speaks in our lives about that. Back then, they didn't have the Bible like we have it today. They didn't have the full release and the fullness of the Holy Spirit. That wasn't going to come until what? Acts chapter 2. We have so much more, and yet these men were able to drop everything and follow him, which meant, Lord, I am going to make a radical change in my life. I am really going to be different because I'm going to follow you. You know, God's call is radical. The change that he calls you to is radical. And radical means, if you look at the word, it really means going back to the root, getting back to the basics, living like you should live. In the world we live in today, it's radical because it is so different than the world standards. It's radical and it's different because it is literally transforming. God has called you to be transformed. Listen, when you and I enter into this relationship and you receive Jesus, your life is changed. What that means is you now live differently. You will feel differently. You will think differently. You will behave differently. Because now you are changing, realigning, and all of a sudden everything's different, and you have the power of the Holy Spirit that literally transforms you. Now, let me be clear. You're not perfect. Can you say amen to that? But you don't struggle the same way. You are now able to respond differently. You are now able to control life and how you respond to life differently. Life comes and hits you, but you're different in your response to that hit because you're a believer in Jesus. And the world around you goes, why are you not falling apart right now? You should be. You know what? They say, you have every right. Go ahead and fall apart. And you would say, no, I don't need to because Jesus is in control of my life, not this storm. Jesus is in control of my life, not you. And so, yeah, I feel the emotions of it, but I am not going to react like everyone else around me because, you know what? I have Jesus in my life. I was just the other day faced with a unique challenge, and I met with some people, and I just loved the response that one person had in this meeting that was potentially life-changing. And she said, you know what? I said, are you okay? And she said, yeah, I really am okay because I know Jesus is in charge. I said, really? I was pushing a little bit, wanted to make sure that they were saying the right thing to their pastor, you know. And she said, no, really, I really am okay. Jesus is in charge. This is going to work out. I said, all right, amen. Because I really believe that Jesus will work things out. And when you live that way, it brings a whole difference. There is a transformation that takes place. Now, here's the hard part. I got to say something hard to you. There's no halfway with this. You're in it or you're not in it. You know, Jesus said, because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, very strong word picture, I will vomit you out of my mouth. The readers knew, every parent understands what this means. You know, we've gone through some flu stuff, and I had a number of parents sharing their testimony and the joy of being a parent with their child as they got a little sick and the vomit that came. And that imagery is such a powerful thing. In other words, you either walk with Jesus or you don't. You don't get to do this halfway. And it doesn't work. God said, I've created you for this amazing relationship. He says, so God created man in his own image. The word says, I've been standing at the door and constantly knocking. If anyone opens the door, I will come in and look at fellowship with him and he with me. In other words, relationship. Let me in. And some of us, when are you going to get tired of hearing the knock? And let him in. Because when he comes in, he wants to hang out. He wants to literally, in this word, have a meal with you. Anyone who watches the Food Network knows food is intimate. How many times do we have to hear that? I mean, it's now becoming a billion-dollar industry in convincing us the importance that, more important than anything else, is the meal, the presentation, excuse me, the plating of the meal. You win prizes over plating your meal. I've started complimenting Lois. That was well plated tonight. Thank you. And Jesus says, there's an acknowledgement of the intimacy of that. He says, I want to come in, because it is intimate. I want to come and eat at the table with you. I want to enjoy this communion with you. God says, talk to me. Talk to me. We call that prayer. It says in everything, by prayer, petition, with thanksgiving. It says, God has invited you, that's us, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, into his wonderful, and here it is, friendship, relationship with his Son, Christ our Lord. I have learned, and I want you to learn as well, spending time with God is critical. It is essential to the health and well-being of a believer. Hanging out with Jesus, one-on-one time with the Lord. I have learned, as I've already said, that spending time with God is critical. I do that on a regular basis. And I'm not talking about, I have my devotions, hopefully like you do, almost every day. I spend time in the Word every day. And then I actually get this going away time where I am very intentional that I will spend time with Jesus alone, away from all the distractions of life around me. Jesus even said, he said, in Matthew 4:4, again, it says, people need more than bread for their life. They must feed on every word of God. Every word of God. Feed on it. So as a leader of a team, and I've done this for a very long time, the other day I went to my team and said, okay, I have an assignment for you. I'm going to give you Monday to go have what I call a spiritual day with Jesus. How many of you like to have your boss come and say to you, go hang out with Jesus for a day? Can you say amen to that? How many of you would faint if your boss said that, right? It's like, wow. Well, you'd be surprised at how few pastors and leaders like me really do things like that. But I told my team, I value the time you spend with Jesus because we really can't do what we're doing if we don't get even extra time with the Lord. And so here's your assignment. I want you to go, and I told him, I want you to ask God for a personal word that he would give you. And I'd like you to spend 4 hours of your day alone with Jesus. Take your Bible, take something to write with, and nothing else. Tell your family that if they really need you, to text 911 first so you know it is a real emergency. And that they are not just calling because they can't find their keys to the car or they don't know where the lunch meat is in the refrigerator because they're so used to asking you where everything is. Do not answer that phone. You will be in trouble if you answer that phone. I will know it. And I want you to do something that is outside of the box so that you won't be disturbed. The dog can't come and bug you. The kids can't come and bug you. Your husband or wife can't come and bug you. The telephone, nothing alone with God. And then the next day you're going to report back what God shared. I will hold you accountable because we will meet and you're going to share. And we went around with 16 people sharing the word that God gave them. It was exciting. It was life-changing. Just to be reminded that God loves us and cares about us so much, he does talk to us and brings us just what we need. I mean, think about it. When was the last time you spent just an hour alone with Jesus, like I'm talking? Some of you might say, well, I've done that. Okay, let me up it a little bit. When's the last time you spent a day and you took a day, half a day, a whole day with Jesus? I have learned that very few of us do that. And yet we ought to on a regular basis. I am telling you, it changes your life. And I'd like you to hear the testimonies. Can't have everyone, but I've asked some of our team to, at each service, to share a little bit about what God has spoken in their lives. So I'm going to ask if Lowe's team members would come up right now, and we're going to sit here, and we're going to share with you a little bit about what the Lord has brought to us, and we're going to share something very personal, because what you're going to hear is the personal word, or at least a part of the personal word that Lee's staff members received from the Lord. And it's pretty amazing what God has done. So as we're sitting here getting ready, so Pastor Christina, so you tell me about getting away like this. Was it easy? How did it go?
You know, it wasn't the easiest thing in the world, because Mondays are busy. Mondays are where everything just seems to pile up, including appointments. But setting aside the time and going away, where I went, there was no cell signal, there was no sound, nothing. And
there was no cell signal.
No, there was no, and that was intentional.
Oh, so you're in your backyard.
In my backyard, a little farther than my backyard, but yes.
So you really got away from the distractions. You took what we said, and mm-hmm. you really made it happen. And was it easy? Was it just like, did it flow right away for you? It was like, boom, there was God, and it was just magical.
Well, that was my idea.
That was okay.
That was my plan. But God, I love how he knows me so personally. And I had planned on spending time with worship, because I don't know about you guys, but for me, my brain's always going, even when I'm trying to pray, it's, well, I needed that time to just, and so I started to worship. And so I turn on my MP3 player, and the music that I had planned to worship with was not there. And there was music there that I have no idea how it got there. I'm no kidding. I have no idea. But that was exactly what I needed to just calm my thoughts and listen to the voice of God.
So how did it go? What did the Lord bring to you?
I really sense the Lord saying, you need to study. You need to study right now, and you need to do a study on the word holy. And so I took my Bible, which has a very good concordance in the back, and I looked up every reference to the word holy. And several of the scriptures, as I was reading them, I felt it was almost like a physical pull from my center towards the scripture. And so I was, whoa. So I wrote it down, and exactly what was impressed upon me. And all of this came down to, I have called you specifically. It's no accident that you're part of this body. I've called you specifically. I have a significant destiny for you. And because I'm setting you apart, you need to learn what it means to live a holy life. And then now, you know, Pastor talks about this is how a direction for us to go. And I'm like, God, you're so good. Just, it worked out perfectly. It was great.
So not only was this a personal word, but it was affirmation of what we're doing.
Absolutely.
And you're taking the idea that God's called you to really be different. But it was then, because you were struggling with that as a person. I mean, mm-hmm. you are a pastor, but yet you're human. And so in struggling with that, God spoke to you personally and said to you like a daughter.
He did. I'm a very independent person, and I'll just run with something. And sometimes I need to be reminded by my daddy that slow down. Focus on me. I'll be running off, and God's, it almost seems like he's back behind me going, hey, slow down. Wait for me.
Yeah.
Living a holy life, keeping him as my focus for my practical, everyday living.
Right.
Not only my spiritual.
I would imagine you're talking to a few people out there right now.
Yeah.
Good, good. Mm-hmm. So, Jana, man, you've got a lot going on right now. You're excited, aren't you?
I do.
Huge transitions.
I'm really excited.
Yeah, I am so excited for you.
I'm going to miss taking care of you, but no, I mean that seriously. That's probably the only thing I'm going to miss. But I will miss
it. Amen. But you had a chance to get alone with the Lord too, didn't you?
I did. For me, because I've had been sharing a home with my daughter and five grandchildren for over a dozen years, for me to get away to meet with the Lord means I got to get in my van and go somewhere. And so the Lord has been gracious to give me a nice, quiet place where I can look at the water and observe his creation. And probably most of you have a go-to scripture or a psalm or something that is kind of a life verse. And for me, it's always been Psalm 27. When I first got saved, God spoke to me through Psalm 27. And so I didn't intend to go there necessarily, but God spoke to me through Psalm 27, verse 7 and 8. And I hadn't really caught, this verse had not caught my attention before, but my heart has heard you say, come and talk with me. And my heart responds, Lord, I am coming. And it just was such a sweet call from the Lord to meet with him. And I read some other scriptures about drawing near to the Lord, being in his courts, delighting in his presence and in his perfections. And then after a time, I felt like I needed to quiet my spirit some more. And the Lord has, over the years, spoke to me through birds. You know, it's just things that birds do. And the ducks. Lots and lots of ducks. And I was looking at the water, and it happened to be really choppy that day. And all of a sudden, there's just a huge group of ducks just goes floating by, you know. And the Lord just kind of used that to show me that, you know, the ducks, they're just going. And the Lord's carrying them on the current. And they don't have to do anything, you know. And they just trust their creator to take them where they need to go. And but if they wanted to, you know, come to shore or something, they'd really have to make an effort because they're on a current to change direction. And I just really felt like the Lord was showing me that he would take me to safety and provision and to resist the temptation to redirect myself, that it could get rough at times and stormy, but not to look at the storm, but to look at him and to follow him and stay close to him, and that if I did that, that I would hear him and know his voice. And it was just a real encouragement to me. And, you know, that if I hadn't spent that time with the Lord that day, I would have never gotten this word. And also just a reminder that unless you spend dedicated time with the Lord like this, it's just difficult to learn how he speaks to you as a person, individually, as a unique individual, as a unique child of God. That's the only way I've learned how God speaks to me is by spending this special time with him, and I'm just so thankful for it. It's just, you know, I'm just thankful that I had that time to spend with him and hear that encouraging word from him.
So it was neat, too, that I love God using his creation to speak to you as well. And that Jesus did that all the time, right? Mm-hmm. You think of all the parables, and he used his creation to say, so look at this tree or look at this mountain or whatever.
Right.
And it was like, okay, Lord, you know, you're speaking to me using your creatures. And God does that, doesn't he?
He does.
Yeah, that's an amazing,
I just love it.
What a great word picture.
You know,
yeah. Pastor Ken, you had a chance to get alone and spend some time with the Lord. I know you do that regularly as well. So what happened for you?
Well, this time was really very special. I do a lot of different things, and a lot of times my life feels very chaotic, kind of like I'm going from thing to thing to thing to thing. And the Lord just really placed it on my heart. He says, you just need to take a walk. So I walked from Bremerton to Silverdale and really just looked at things as I was going through there and reviewed a number of scriptures that God had placed on my heart. And I took my Bible and a pad of paper and some stuff in my backpack and just really took that time. And I spent that 2 hours just really talking to God. You know, what's going on, God? What's this season about in my life? What is the most important thing for me to really be focused on right now? Because there's so much, you know, so many great things going on, so many good things going on, and some things that are difficult. And I noticed as I walked, I noticed a lot of really beautiful things, and I shared with my wife, Pam, some beautiful things that I've never seen traveling just because you're going in the car and it's fast. And so God just started to speak to my heart about slowing down, you know, really being a lover of people, really not allowing all that I do to interrupt that part. And when I sat down and finally had a chance to sit and open my word, it was very clear. And he took me to Timothy, and it says, teach no other doctrine, nor give heed to fables or endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. The purpose of this commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from a sincere faith. And what God really was speaking to my heart about was my call as a pastor. What is it that is the most important thing that I'm to be doing in this season of my life? And it's that he's entrusted a ministry into my hands that is to help others to love God from a pure heart, to love them with a pure heart, for me to love God with a pure heart, but to help others to learn to love God from a pure heart, to learn how to have a good conscience, how to apply the word and to have a good conscience and a sincere faith, you know. And for me, it was really clear. God's going, you're not going to have all the answers. Sorry. You know, there's things that you understand. There's things that you've seen, but you're not going to have all the answers. There are going to be some things you're just going to have to go, okay, God, I believe that your word's true, and I'm going to just stay with you, even if I don't understand why. Why certain things have happened. So God really just, it was a time of affirmation and really building back in it was like God was just putting his arm around me, just going, yeah, it's okay, it's time, you know, just keep walking, and that affirming, you know, we're in this together.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. Each of you have learned to understand and to know the voice of God. Because it wasn't an audible voice like we're talking, but it was clearly the voice of God. And you knew that because you've been practicing this for really quite a while. Right. And if you had just started it might have been even, you know, because when you first did it, although God is always there, you've really learned that God will speak to you. God will give you a word. God will use creation around you. God will use Scripture. And this is personal for you. Absolutely. This is for you because, you know, you all have great ministries and you're amazing people, but you need the Lord. Mm-hmm. And this is what helps keep you, this gives you the strength, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you guys are, that's an amazing, can we say God bless you? Nice job, guys. I believe that's an assignment for all of us. To feed on the word that God would bring to us. God's called us to live godly lives. Romans 13:12 says, the night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. So don't live in darkness. Get rid of your evil deeds. Shed them like dirty clothes. Clothe yourselves with the armor of right living. Clothe yourselves with the armor of living godly lives as those who live in the light. What a powerful metaphor. The day, the night is almost gone. That ought to have impact on us. The night is almost gone. The day of salvation will soon be here. Put on the armor of light. In other words, put on the behavior, that's correct according to the Word of God. Put on decency. Put on a lifestyle that pleases God. The night's almost over, and the day is coming. John tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Listen to what it says. It goes on. It says, "He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light." That needs to have impact, that men would love light more, would love darkness more than light. How sad is that? How tragic is that? Their deeds are evil, but he who does the truth comes to life, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they've been done in God. Put on the armor of light. Put on the way of living, a deliberate, conscious commitment to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. You get up tomorrow morning, you deliberately clothe yourselves in the armor of light, and you declare to God, "Today I'm going to live a godly life." And you keep doing that as you go through the day. God's called us to live a certain way, church. And I've listed some commitments that I believe are critical right now, that we must become real disciples of Jesus living godly lives. We must be a team working and living together as a community. We must commit to doing and living right and commit ourselves to the mission. We must live with honor and integrity, integrating, applying the Word of God in all of our living. We must share God's grace, love, and forgiveness and acceptance. We must serve with no compromise, but 100% commitment. We must dedicate ourselves to the Lord, to one another. We must learn to sacrifice our time, talent, and treasure to the Lord. We must take the risk to share with others. We must be vulnerable and open up to the Lord, to one another. We must be transparent with one another and the Holy Spirit. We must be willing to do whatever it takes to do the above. I believe you and I, living 2013, sharing, serving, and living godly lives, is going to make a difference in you and in the community around us. You want to change a marriage? Do you want to change a family? Do you want to change and bring to the community around you life, light? And live a godly life. That becomes a powerful testimony that Jesus is more important than anything else. Can you say amen to that, church? Let's pray. Lord, our commitment to you is to live a godly life. Lord, I ask for your help to do this. I ask that you would give all of us here today strength. Help us, Lord God, to persevere and to do this every single day. Not just occasionally when it's convenient, but every day. Let it start now. Let it start with us today, on this Sunday, that we commit ourselves to you, God, to live a godly life. I invite you, with your heads bowed, one-on-one with Jesus. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. I'm not going to ask you to stand. I'm going to ask you to do only this. Commit right now to Jesus to live a godly life. Go ahead. Say the words under your breath. Just don't think it, but actually say it. Lord, I commit myself. I ask you to help me to live a godly life. Lord, with this commitment that comes from us to you, Lord, let it be sealed here and now. And we walk out of this place, Lord, committed to live a godly life. And thank you that we have all the resource necessary. You've given us the Word. You've given us the amazing gift of the Holy Spirit. You've given us each other. We have all that's necessary to do this. We can do this. And I pray for the victory to come for every one of us to do this every day of our life. Every day of our life. In your name we pray. Amen.